right now, I invite you to turn with me to your Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 6, in your Trinity Psalter hymnal. Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 6, and you can find that in page 874. Page 874. I'll read the questions and you can respond with the answer. Lord's Day 6, question 16. Why must the mediator be a true and righteous man? Question 17. Why must he also be true God? Question 18. Then who is this mediator, true God, and at the same time, a true and righteous man? Question 19. How do you come to know this? I encourage you to keep your Trinity Psalter hymnal open. And now I invite you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2, beginning at verse 14 to 18. We'll be reading two scripture passages. One is from Hebrews. Another one is from Colossians. Please pay attention to how the author of the book of Hebrews, he describes Jesus Christ for us. And likewise, I would encourage you to pay attention to how Apostle Paul, in the book of Colossians, he describes Jesus Christ for us. And before we read God's holy word, let us ask God for his blessings. Shall we pray? Father, you are the fount of all blessings. We pray that you would give us grace to understand your holy words. Lord Jesus Christ, you are our mediator and our rescuer. We pray that you would deliver us and rescue us from our spiritual sloth and slumber. Holy Spirit, you are our helper and sanctifier. We pray that you would sanctify us with the Holy Scriptures. Help us, triune God, to be renewed and transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. In this name we pray. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. And if you are using your Pew Bible, you should find it in page 1002. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who fear, through fear of death, were subjected to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not the angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. And now again, I invite you to go with me to the book of Colossians, He said, you can find it in page 983, if you're using the Pew Bible, page 983. We'll be reading Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things altogether. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. If there is a quarrel or a strong disagreement between a husband and a wife, a pastor or a counselor can be the middleman. The pastor could help in resolving the problem, and he would help the couples to get along and to maintain a proper, healthy relationship. And if there is a fight between two children, then the parents can be the go-between. They can stop the fight, and they can teach the children to love one another. Likewise, if there is a dispute between two companies, say for example, Apple and Samsung, then the court will be the arbiter. The court can help in solving the dispute. But listen to the words of Prophet Eli in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 25. If someone sins against a man, God will mediate for him. But if someone sins against the Lord, who can intercede for him? This is one of the most important questions we can ask ourselves. If we sin against God, who will intercede or mediate for us? Who will be our middleman? Who will be our go-between? Who will be our mediator? Humanly speaking, and from a human perspective, we have none. We have no other man. But praise be to God for his grace. Praise be to God for his salvation. And praise be to God for his deliverance, that we have the God-man, Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us his Son, Lord Jesus Christ, who is our one and only mediator. And this brings us to the theme of our sermon. Jesus Christ is one and only mediator. Jesus Christ is our one and only mediator. We'll see this truth in three different points. First, we'll see the nature of the mediator. The second point, we'll see the role of the mediator. And finally, the revelation about the mediator. Let us consider the first point, the nature of the mediator. The nature of the mediator, which our Heidelberg Catechism question 16, 17, and 18 tries to capture, can be understood by asking this four simple question. Is Christ a true and righteous man? What is the necessity of it? Is Christ the true God? What is the necessity of it? The first question, is Christ a true and righteous man? For that, we have to look to the passage of Hebrews that we read. In Hebrews chapter 2, in verses 14, 16, and 17, Look at the several phrases how the author of Hebrew describes the nature of Christ. He says, the children shared in flesh and blood. He himself, Christ Jesus, likewise partook the same things. For surely it is not the angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect. The author of the book of Hebrews is stressing the fact that Jesus is fully and truly human, and that he understands the weaknesses of human life. The gospel writers, they holistically portray that Jesus as a 100% man. For example, in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. In John chapter 4, we see Jesus asking the Samaritan woman for a drink. In Mark chapter 4, you can read Jesus sleeping on a boat. And again, in John chapter 11, the shortest verse of the Bible, John chapter 11, verse 35, Jesus wept. And in John chapter 2, Jesus was angry with the people who were selling doves and pigeons in the temple. And last night, we were reading through the book of John, and we were in John chapter 9. In John chapter 9, Jesus heals a man who was born blind. And it's amazing how he does that. He spits on the mud. He spits on the mud, and with his saliva, he makes a solution. He anoints that man, the man on his eyes, and he asks him to wash it in the pool of Siloam. Boys and girls, do you think that Jesus has to do that so that the blind man can be made right, able to see? Do you really think that Jesus has to spit, make a solution, anoint that man's eye, and cure it? Not at all. But why does the Gospel of John, chapter 9, he does that for us? So that we might understand Jesus is fully man. Jesus is just like us, but yet without sin. And brothers and sisters in the Lord, the humanity of Jesus Christ is a great, great comfort for us. Because some of you teenagers, you may be saying to yourself, if only my parents could understand me better. Or maybe you would say, if only my husband understands me better. If only my wife understands me better. Or you older saints, you were saying, my eyesights are dimming. Every day, even walking is difficult. If only someone understands my pain, my sorrow, my ache. The good thing is, dear brothers, dear sisters, dear teenagers, Christ understands you. He knows exactly how you feel. For the scriptures, as we read in Hebrews chapter 2, it tells us, he partook of our human nature, but at the same time, look at verse 18 of Hebrews chapter 2. For because he himself has suffered from when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. If stress and anxiety and depression overwhelms you, Jesus Christ, the man, is there for you. He's there to uplift you. And you feel like nobody is listening to you, the God-man Jesus Christ, he is there to listen to you. I encourage you, I exhort you, go to him in your personal prayers. And in your personal prayers, cast all anxiety on him, because the scripture says he cares for you. Jesus Christ is not only 100% man, he's also a true and righteous man. And this is why the doctrine of virgin birth is so important for us to understand. Because unlike the rest of humanity, Jesus was born without sin. He did not inherit the original sin. And if you're hearing the word original sin for the first time, it simply means in Adam, the federal head, the federal representative of mankind, just like you have the President Biden, who is the representative of the United States of America, in Adam, our federal head, we fell by eating the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden. You and I, we all are sinners from birth. But Jesus, on the other hand, he was without sin. The scriptures calls him spotless, blameless lamb. And in fact, Jesus challenges the Jews. If you see in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 4-6, he asks them this question: Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? He's the only person in the entire planet can say such thing. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? Jesus Christ alone is the sinless man. Jesus Christ alone is a true and righteous man that can meet the requirement of God's justice. And he alone can pay for the sins of the sinners. And now we have to consider the next two questions. Is Christ a truly God? And what is the necessity of it? And now if you look with me in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, Paul says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And again, the phrase, firstborn of all creation, it is not dealing with time, but rather it is dealing with position, it is dealing with the status. It does not mean that Jesus is the first created thing. Cults like Jehovah's Witnesses, they like to do that. They like to twist the scriptures. But it means that Jesus is the one who is preeminent, he's the most important person, and Jesus is supreme. And this teaching is a stumbling block to many people, because many would say Jesus is a good moral teacher, that Jesus is a great political reformer, he's a good man like Buddha or Gandhi, but he is not God. But scripture, God's word, explicitly says, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. You and I were created by Jesus and for him. We are created for him. The entire universe, it exists because it's created by Jesus and it exists for Jesus. And in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, it tells us, the fullness of deity dwells in his body. Jesus Christ is God in flesh. Why Christ has to be truly God? To answer this question, let me give you an illustration. Our brother Deacon Ross Vandernot, he's not here, but Alexis is here. But we would all agree that Ross is the tallest person in our congregation. And let, for example, say he's the strongest person in our congregation. He might carry a 25-pound of bag in one hand and another 25-pound of bag in another hand with ease. He might carry a 50-pound of bag in one hand, another 50-pound of bag in another hand with ease? What about a 200-pound bag? What about a 500-pound bag? Will he be able to carry a 500-pound bag in his one hand, another 500-pound bag in another hand? Imagine that. And also think about this, brothers and sisters in Christ. We have all gone to Chicago, right? You have seen the skyscrapers. Imagine that. Put one skyscraper over the other. Just stack it one over the other just in Chicago alone. Do you think that any of us in this congregation or any of the mankind in the entire world would be able to withstand the weight of those skyscrapers? They will crush us into powder. And that's why we need Jesus Christ. And that's why the scriptures, which our confession beautifully summarizes, it says in answer 17, by the power of his divinity, he might bear in his humanity the weight of God's wrath. No one can withstand God's wrath. Like all the skyscrapers, when it compares to God's wrath, it's nothing. Only Jesus Christ, our Savior, the God-man, in his humanity, he can do that. Praise God that we have the God-man Jesus Christ. And he alone bears the holy, eternal wrath of God for us. Let us consider the second point, the role of the mediator. And again, if you see the role of the mediator, Jesus does two things for us. One, we have to go to the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, where Jesus, as our mediator, as our high priest, is the propitiation for the sins of the people. And propitiation is one of the most fundamental doctrines of Christian faith. And let me again explain to you what propitiation means with another example. Last Sunday was a Mother's Day. And some of your sisters who are listening to me, I'm pretty sure you wanted to buy a good gift to your mother. So you order it in Amazon and online. And you even pay extra money so that the shipment comes in time. But the shipment did not come in time. While all of your other siblings, they gave good gifts to your mom, you were just there, a bit embarrassed, but super upset with Amazon. The next day, you call the customer care, you vent your fury on them. Hey, I paid you the extra money, why is the gift? And they try to appease you. They would say, we are sorry, and as a token of appreciation, we want to give you a $15 gift card. And they try to appease you, appease your wrath. Likewise, our sins infuriates God. Our sins, it enrages him. Psalm chapter 7, verse 11, it says, God is angry with wicked every day. But again, Jesus Christ, as our mediator, he appeases the rightful indignation of God. He satisfies the wrath of God. Again, if you're here today, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, if you don't know Jesus as your mediator, as your Lord, I urge you, brother, I urge you, sister, now is the time to make this decision. Now is the time to surrender your life to him, to trust in him, to cling to him. You will not be able to bear the wrath of God. He is the propitiation of our sins. Because remember how God called us. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. He's calling you right now. Turn to him. Look to him. Trust in him. and cling to him. Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins. The second thing that Jesus does it for us is, for this we need to look into Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. The second thing Christ Jesus does for us as our mediator is that he reconciles us to himself, but in the long run, to God himself, so that he presents us as holy, blameless, and above reproach. You see, reconciliation is the end of estrangement. Why there was an estrangement? Because of the original sin. Because of the original sin between God and humanity, we need a reconciliation. And Calvin, he describes the reconciliation as the peace between humanity and God that results from the expiation of religious sin and the propitiation of God's wrath. Again, brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus Christ alone is our one and only mediator who can satisfy the wrath of God. And he is the one and only mediator who can reconcile us to God. The beauty of Colossians 1 is that he's not only reconciling mankind with himself, but the whole universe has been reconciled to him. The whole universe is brought under the redemptive reign of Christ. Now, the final point, the revelation about the mediator. As Christians, one of the first songs we learned as a child was, "Jesus loves me, this I know." And in the refrain, we sing, "Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me." And how do you know that Jesus loves you, boys and girls? The answer is, the Bible tells me so. Likewise, the question 19, it asks us, how do you know that Jesus is the mediator between God and man? The answer our catechism gives us is that the Holy Gospel tells us so. Jesus Christ, he is not only the mediator of the New Testament. He is not only the mediator for us. He is the mediator for those who lived the other side of the cross, for the Old Testament saints. It is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, we are saved. But the administration was different. Let me give you an analogy again. For the people, those who are in their 30s and above, back in those days, when you want to take a picture, you have your analog camera. How I know I might miss the millennials, but you have those analog cameras. Say, for example, you want to take a picture of your mother. So if you want to take a picture of your mother, you need to have the particular film, you need to have that particular light, and you have to have a dark room, and it's a lengthy and long process to develop that picture. But we have made leaps and bounds when it comes to technology. Now we have digital cameras. Just like that, you click and you have your mother. What has changed? The picture that you took of your mother with the analog camera, it's the same with the picture that you took with the digital camera. The analog camera, the resolution is less, but the digital camera, you have greater picture, you have greater clarity. Likewise, in the Old Testament, Jesus was seen in shadows, but in the New Testament, you can see Jesus in his essence, in his completeness. That's why in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, God already told us that the offspring of the woman is going to crush the serpent. Again, in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10, it was the will of the Lord to crush him and cause him to suffer. And because of that, because of Christ's propitiation on the cross, we can have union with God, that we can be reconciled with God. And in the New Testament, we have a wonderful message in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, which says, God made him no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. You see, brothers and sisters in Christ, our catechism tells us, how do we know about the mediator? The Holy Gospel. It is already proclaimed in the paradise. It was again proclaimed through the holy patriarchs. It was proclaimed by the prophets. And finally, in the pages of the New Testament. And finally, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let us be amazed by the true nature of Christ, that he is 100% man, and at the same time, he is 100% God. He is fully man, and he is fully God. Let us marvel at the infinite beauty of this mediator, especially his love for us, that he is our propitiation. And he reconciled us to God. And again, remember what the scripture says. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. Oh, let us praise this wonderful Savior. Oh, let us praise this wonderful mediator. Jesus Christ is our one and only mediator. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for giving us your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as our one and only mediator. Grant us, through your Holy Spirit, to cherish this truth in our hearts and live out this truth in our everyday life. Enable us to come to your throne of grace in our times of need, totally dependent upon the finished work of your Son. Hear us for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this moment, let us lift up our hearts and our voices by singing hymn 265, In Christ Alone.